Father, we just thank you and we just worship you. We come, Almighty God, and ask that we would be worthy servants to bring forth your word, Lord Jesus.
Yes, Jesus.
Let it be the words of Almighty God and not merely the words of men. Let us decrease, Lord Jesus, that you might increase and send your word forth to accomplish its purpose in the lives of your people. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Open your Bibles to Luke tonight.
Luke chapter 3, verse 9. New King James. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So the people asked him, saying, "What shall we do then?" And he answered and said to them, "He who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise." Then the tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than what is appointed for you." Likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, "And what shall we do?" So he said to them, "Do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages." Now, this is John the Baptist. John the Baptist, the one of whom Jesus said, "No greater has been born of woman than John the Baptist." I want you to understand, he's talking about fruit. He's talking about bearing or producing good fruit. In the NIV, it says, "Produce good fruit." Bearing. Not just any kind of fruit, but what kind of fruit? Good fruit. Good fruit. Not just any fruit, but good fruit. Here's what the word "to bear" means. To bring forth, give birth, to produce by natural growth, to tend in a course or direction. I want you to think about that. To tend in a course or direction. We'll come back to these. To produce. Here's what produce means. To provide, furnish, or supply, or bring forth, give birth, to bring into existence by intellectual or creative ability. To bear or produce good fruit. To bear or produce good fruit is what we're talking about.
This is what we as children of God are supposed to be doing. Bearing good fruit. Producing good fruit. First of all, as a testimony to the tree that we're grafted into. Right? That's the first reason that we're supposed to be bearing or producing good fruit. A tree that produces bad fruit is a testimony to the tree, right? If the fruit is bad, what do you think? The fruit is bad, or do you think the tree is bad?
Bad tree.
Bad tree. Something's wrong with the tree. When we produce good fruit, it is a testimony to the goodness of God that we are grafted into. Turn in your Bibles. Look at what it says in John 15.
Now, I want you to remember that when God is redundant, he is redundant for a purpose. When he says the same thing over and over and over again in several passages, he's trying to get a point across to you. So I want you to listen to this. Now, this is John. This is the apostle of love. And here's what he says. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Okay, did you guys sense a theme there somewhere? About if you're going to bear fruit, what do you got to do? Remain.
Here's a quick, go back, grab your pen, those of you who are reading your Bible. Underline everywhere from 1 to 10 that you say, remain in me. And then tell me how many you found. How many times did he say that? Remain in me, remain in his love, remain in my love. Wherever you see remain in, underline that from verses 1 through 10 and then tell me how many times you see it.
I mean, it is over and over. I love it whenever God says, like, verily, verily, I say unto you, which means, hey, I got your attention with the first one. I'm saying it again.
Counting them. You'll be shocked how many of these times he says it.
11. So what do you think God's trying to say?
More than one time in every verse. Right? One time in every verse had been 10 and said it's 11. He's like, what am I trying to tell you? If you're going to produce good fruit,
you have to what? Remain in me. And when he's not saying remain, what is he saying? He says, look, you're either good fruit or you're bad fruit. You're either in me or you're not in me. You're either mine or you're not mine. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So it's remain in me. Oh, by the way, if you don't remain in me, you can do nothing, right?
So the first reason that we're supposed to be producing good fruit is as a testimony unto the Lord. The second reason we're supposed to be producing good fruit is for the nourishment of others.
For the nourishment of others. What do you think about that? What are fruit trees for? Food. I mean, really. Otherwise, they're like cows. God didn't mean us to eat them. Why did he make them taste so good? And slow. I mean, if God did not intend for us to eat fruit, why did he make it so healthy and tasty and not make it at the top of giant trees? He gave us arms, and then he said, it'll even fall out on your nugget. I will bring the fruit down to you. It is for the nourishment, because good fruit provides what? Life. Good fruit produces something for you to be productive. If you have good fruit, if I'm producing good fruit, I produce more life of what kind? The same. Good fruit, right? If you eat of good fruit, you're going to produce good fruit. See, that's the nourishment and strength to others.
The other reason that we're supposed to be producing good fruit is for the reproducing of others in keeping with its own kind. From the very beginning, we were told to be fruitful and to multiply. To be fruitful and to multiply.
Started
everything
with math, Randy. In the Garden of Eden, God said, start with math. Be fruitful and multiply.
Everything that God created, he created whole with the ability to reproduce. And he said, reproduce with in keeping with your own kind. Well, if we're reproducing bad fruit, that's not a good thing. That's why he said, he didn't just say produce fruit. He said produce good fruit. Why? Because if you produce good fruit in somebody, then they will reproduce good fruit in somebody else, and they will reproduce good fruit in somebody else, which is what we're supposed to be doing, bringing forth fruit, good fruit in somebody else, so that then they have seeds to reproduce, and that's how we build the kingdom of God.
See, so once again, this is one of those questions. First of all, you have to ask yourself, what kind of fruit are you producing? Are you producing any fruit? Remember, there was the tree that Jesus found, the fig tree, that didn't produce fruit, and he said, fertilize it, give it one more year. And then there was the fig tree that Jesus said, curse it. And the next day it was dead because it didn't produce fruit when it should have. Right? I pray to be the fig tree that got one more chance, right? And not the one that he went by and goes, no more fruit, that's it, poof. Because see, we are supposed to be producing fruit. And of that fruit, what kind of fruit?
Good fruit.
Good fruit. And that good fruit, what kind of, when a peach tree drops peaches, what kind of trees does it produce? Silly thought, huh? But why is it that some people look like Christian trees, but the fruit that they drop is poisonous? Why is it that some people look like they are good for the eating, but really they are poisonous to the touch? Can a bad tree produce good fruit? And can a good tree produce bad fruit?
No.
See, this is what he was talking about. He said, we are called to produce good fruit. And if we are attached to the vine, what are we going to produce? If we remain in him, good fruit. But apart from him, what are we going to produce?
Nothing.
Probably nothing. And at the very worst, bad fruit. If we're really good at being bad, we'll produce bad fruit. But we can't do anything without him. So here's the next piece. So these people, go back to, oh, that's it. No. Go back to Luke 3:9, babe. So back in Luke, John the Baptist, pretty fiery fella. When they heard the seriousness of this, because this is where he said, oh, brood of vipers. He said, now even the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Whoa. Ouch. That's pretty. Now look, these people heard the seriousness of this. And what did they say? Number 10. So the people said, what shall we do? Right? I mean, this is a serious thought. Here's what John does. He addresses three separate issues here. Three separate issues of how to produce good fruit according to these three things. What you have, what you do, and what you are. What you have, what you do, and who you are. Verse 11. He says, he answered and said to them, he who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise.
What he's addressing here, is he addressing the issue of what you have? That's what he said. But everybody has something. Everybody has something. What do you have to give? Whatever you have, go and produce fruit with it. That's what he's saying to him right here. You got two tunics? Give one away. You've got some food? Give it away. What do you have? What do you have right now? Everybody has something. This is the issue that was addressed. You remember the boy? So there's thousands and thousands of people to be fed. The little boy says, I have something. I have something. Now that something became enough for everybody because he took what he had. They gave thanks for it. They began to give it away. God multiplied it, and it produced. In 2 Kings chapter 4, 1 through 7, you see the story of Elisha and the widow with the oil. First thing, he comes on scene, and she thinks she's going to lose everything. Elisha says, what do you have in your house? Why? Because Elisha understood this. This is what he's saying right here. What do you have? Everybody has something. And this is what he said. This is the first issue. Take what you have and begin to produce good fruit. What was the definition? I like the definition over here of produce.
Now here, roll one more scripture, babe. There you go. Look, First of all, I want you to catch what the widow says. Your maidservant has nothing but a jar of oil. How many times have you told God, I don't have anything, God, except, this is what she did. Your maidservant has nothing but a jar of oil. So what did he say?
That's right.
Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few.
Start with what you have, right? Everybody has something. The problem is we so often what we look at what we don't have, and while we're looking at what we don't have, we're always overlooking what we already do have. And if you are thankful for what you do have, when he took the loaves and the fish, if you go back and you read the story, what did Jesus do? The very first thing he did is he offered them up to heaven and he gave thanks for it. And then he broke it and then he gave it away. And so everybody has something. Begin to produce fruit with what you have. One of the definitions of produce is to bring into existence by intellectual or creative ability. Take what you have and get creative and produce some good fruit out of it. And get creative. To tend in a course or direction. What do I have in my house already? I'm going to take what I have and I'm going to begin to produce good fruit for the God that I love because he gave this thing to me. That's the first thing they addressed is, what do you have?
And what's usually our thought? Nothing. Not enough, God. Certainly not what is worthy for you. And what they went, well, does anybody have anything to eat? And that little boy went, I got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Got a lunch for me. You're welcome to it.
Here's a little example. So Glenn calls us and says, my grandma's dying. Will you come and pray with her? We said, sure. So we stopped what we were doing. We jumped in the car. We drove out to Fort Collins. We prayed with her. We stood. We talked with her. Quoted some scripture. Stood there with the family for a while. Stayed as long as we could and left. What did we have to give that day? Time, love, prayers. That was it. But we took what we had and we gave it and it produced good fruit. See, it's that simple. You have so much more to give than you realize. So much more to give. Most of the time, again, you're looking for something huge and you're overlooking what you already have that you can produce such amazing fruit for the kingdom if you would just begin. If you don't know, ask God. Say, God, show me what I have and show me how I can take this little thing that it is and produce fruit that glorifies you, that nourishes other people, that helps the kingdom.
Do something. There was not some orchestrated Holy Spirit prayer over Glenn's grandmother. I mean, really? How old was she, Glenn? 87 years old. She was very sick. She was very frail. And she was getting ready to pass. Bethy and I talked with her, held her hand. I just stroked her hair. There wasn't even really anything to say. I just stroked her hair. So many people are like, oh, I don't know what to do in that situation. I mean, nothing.
You know, the world has conditioned us to the point where we're looking for something tangible, something that's
really, right.
Something that's showy.
That's
showy.
Right. You know? And literally, all I did was held her hand. And man, she held on to me like, and so when I was like, she grabbed on to me and I was like, holy smokes.
She had some strength left. She really did.
Grandma not going to let me go. So that's all right. So I just stroked her. Well, when I realized God was using me as a vessel to redeem her husband, to show her that she was seeing her husband who had passed earlier, and Bethy is an angel. That's not hard to believe. And so, you know, it's like, man, how comforting. But we didn't know what to say, what to do, how to act. What do you do? I don't know. Lord, here I am. I don't know what to say. There's no special prayer. People try to say, Oh, it'll be okay. Everything's going to be wonderful. You know what? That's the most irritating thing on the planet. Just go in there and just cry with them. If you can't think of anything else to do, just cry with them and just love them. That's really it. The next thing, verse 12 and 13. The tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than what is appointed for you." So here we go back to what you do. What you do. Why did the tax collectors think differently than those he addressed with two tunics? He said, "Well, but Lord, we make a living collecting taxes." So here he is. He's addressing the issue of what you do. Tax collectors, I'm going to tell you what. They said Jesus ate with whores and tax collectors. They put them in the same sentence. I'm just going to tell you. And they were thought of, probably whores were at least, they had to do that. Tax collectors were the lowest form. They were like, "You were a what? Tui." Because they were typically not ethical. And they collected whatever they felt. As a tax collector, he said, "Produce good fruit. Collect no more than what's appointed for you." Because, see, here's part of it. Everyone does something. Vacuum, sales, brain surgery.
We still don't know what you do.
Smart guy. Rocket science.
Smart guy.
Reverse engineering. I don't know. Tell people that. They go, "What?" He takes crap apart. Oh. Andy used to do that when he was a little kid. Should be a great help to you. He took stuff apart all the time. You know, software developing. Mail delivery.
Hairstylist.
Diesel mechanic. Elderly care. Everybody's got something that we do, right? Everybody's got a job that we do. And lawyers and doctors and pastors and all of these different functions that we perform. Everybody does something. So with what you do, produce good fruit. When I was working in the world, I've told this story before. My old pastor's wife said, "You're wasted here." She said, "You should be out pastoring people." She said, "You are wasted in this place." I was running a distribution center. And then she came to be my secretary for a couple of months. And after about the first month, she goes, "Okay, I apologize. I spoke out of turn." She said, "You should have a Jesus Save sign up on that, because everybody who comes in here gets Jesus, gets preached to, and here's the gospel." And I said, "This is what I'm here making a living. God put me here for a reason, and I have an opportunity to share the gospel here." I led many of the people to the Lord, both my customers, people that worked for me, had opportunities to pray for people. It was just a tremendous opportunity. But see, wherever we are, we have that.
That's right.
The question is, what were you willing to do to take it there? Because, you know, sometimes people look crossways at you. "Well, you can't talk about Jesus here." Really? But I can. I had more than one person tell me I couldn't talk about Jesus. I had a Jewish man. He was like, "You can't talk about Jesus here. I'm a Jew." I said, "So was Jesus." He goes, "Oh, don't give me that. My brother-in-law is a Christian, and he's tried to talk to me all these years." I said, "Okay, what, I can't talk to you because Jesus was a Jew? Don't you know anything about Jesus? He was a rabbi." And we just get to talk. He's like, "I don't want to talk to you about that." And so, but we probably had a 10-year relationship, and we got to talk about his family, and his family were very, very religious Jews, and he was a very non-religious Jew. And so we had a great opportunity to talk. I said, "So is a non-believing Jew really a Jew?" He's like, "Well, of course." I said, "Well, how exactly? Because, you know, in the Torah it says," and he's like, Don't you quote my Bible to me. Okay. But see, gotta make fruit wherever you are. I mean, can you make fruit? Stay-at-home moms. Bethy led people to the Lord. You know, our mailman. Andy's evangelizing our mailman. He's a good guy. He's a good guy. I like him. What's his name, Andy? Do we know his name? It's like bro. Yeah. But you know what? I mean, we have opportunity everywhere. It doesn't matter where you go. When you go to the store, can you bear good fruit? We were coming out of the hotel on Monday, had a thing of roses, and I was carrying all, you know, we had all the stuff, we were leaving finally, and a young couple was standing there by the, they were kind of playing, tussling on the way down to the elevators, and got there by the elevator, and they're standing and all kind of like blah, blah, blah. And I said, let me make you a hero, young man. I said, pick a flower for your lady there. And he's all like, really? And she's all like, see, look, I mean, it didn't take anything just to bear good fruit.
That's right. So first he says, what do you have? With what you have, bear good fruit. And then he says, what do you do? What do you do every day? It's a child care provider. It's an engineer, whatever it is. And maybe you're in a place where you really can't say Jesus. That still doesn't mean you can't bear good fruit. Yes, you can live Jesus. Absolutely. Absolutely, they do. And they're drawn to you.
I just take the scripture reference off.
Absolutely. And then
you can talk.
A great
man said.
That's right.
And then people go, don't you preach at me. I was just a good guy, I know.
According to a book I read.
Yeah, it was a book.
Opportunities.
They do.
Yes, they do. The last one, verse 14. Likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, and what shall we do? So he said to them, do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages. So here he's addressing who you are. Because why? Soldiers have power and soldiers have authority. And so what he's saying is, in this position where you have power and where you have authority, don't abuse it. Don't intimidate other people. Don't take the power and authority that you have and accuse people falsely, which a soldier could do. In whatever position you hold in life, bear good fruit. Every one of us holds a position. You could be a big sister, a little sister, a mom, a dad, an aunt, an uncle. You could be a pastor. You could be a teacher. But beyond just what we do, we hold positions in life. And in that position in life, he says, bear good fruit in that position, not bad fruit.
Okay, so here's a challenge. So the parents asked him and said, what shall we do? And he said to them, do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely. And be content with your wages. You never thank me for anything. Oh. Just a thought. So the husband said, and what shall we do? And he said to them, do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages. Put your position in there and just ask yourself, oh, Lord, I have so far to go. Help me, Jesus. Am I right? Because we got to produce good fruit. Do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely. Uh-oh. Produce good fruit in the position that you hold in your life. Whatever position it is, we are called to produce good fruit with what we have, with what we do, and with what position that we hold. Amen? In the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 43 through 45, No good tree bears bad fruit. Nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. So the question becomes, when you speak, when you speak, is it good treasure out of the good of your heart? Or is it evil treasure out of your heart? Because whatever comes out of your mouth, that's what, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's coming out of you, you know, people say this, I was just angry. I didn't mean that. I was just hurt, and so I didn't really mean that. Well, you caught me off guard. I didn't really mean that. Out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. What comes out of your mouth didn't come out of emptiness. It came out of here. So if what comes out of here is not edifying to the body, here's the thing. Is it honoring to God? Is it honoring to others? And is it honoring to yourself? Those are the three things. Should honor God, honor others, and honor yourself. The words that come out of your mouth, if they are not, then you have to ask yourself, are you a bramble bush trying to bring forth grapes? And if you're a bramble bush, you better get hooked into the right vine. Okay? Because the words that come out of your mouth, whether they're just dismissive, whether they're empty, whether they're without love, or whether they're with anger, if they're not the words that build up, that honor God, honor others, and honor yourself, then you have to ask yourself, what branch am I attached to?
As a parent, we would just like to say, the greatest fruit that you can bring forth for the kingdom is in your children. To bear fruit, to tend in a course or direction. So often, parents try to go out and bear fruit everywhere else in the world instead of in their own children. And as your own children, you're supposed to be bearing good fruit in them, that they in turn would go out and be good fruit to the world. So don't overlook what you have. Don't overlook what's in front of you going out trying to bear fruit out of there and miss what you already have. Bear good fruit with what you have. Bear good fruit with what you do. And bear good fruit in the positions that you hold in life for the glory of the King.
Amen. Amen. Because every bad tree shall have the axe laid to the root and be thrown in the fire. Ouch. Lord God, let us remain, Father, remain in you. Remain in your love. Remain in the vine. Remain, Father God, faithful to you. Almighty God, I ask you that you, Lord Jesus, you know us, you see us. Father, speak clearly to our hearts. Reveal, Father, where we have become unattached to you. Show us, Lord Jesus, where we have become unfruitful. Prune away those things, Lord God, that are extraneous, that we might bear much fruit. And Lord Jesus, if we have bad fruit, Almighty God, let it fall away and let us come back to you. That you, Lord Jesus, would once again be all in all to us. Father, we trust you and we love you. And we ask you, Almighty God, to be in us and for us to remain in you. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen.
Thank you.